And we're back. You're listening to Money Talks on AM 920 The Answer. I'm Matt Hames here with Scott Keller and Troy Harmon. We've covered a lot so far this morning and got another question here we want to cover. And just to remind everybody, if you've got questions you want us to address on the air or if you've got questions about your own stuff, don't hesitate to give us a call. 770-429-9166 is the number here at the office. And you can also reach us at drgene@hensler.com. That's H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R. So, well, let's talk about this case study. You know, we've been doing these throughout the course of 2015. Every week we covered something different. And last week we talked about required minimum distributions, RMDs, from retirement accounts. If you got an IRA, when you get to 70 and a half, the federal government requires you to begin taking money out. And we talked about that, how it's calculated, how to plan for it. And really the upshot of it was there's really a need for being sure you don't get it wrong. 50% penalty if you screw that up.
Yes, that's right.
It's not something you want to mess with. So, but we covered that last week. This week we're going to talk about a situation where, and we see this a lot, Scott. I mean, I know you and I, from having clients come in, it's 54-year-old, this particular case study, and again, we've changed all the names and circumstances around just for the sake of the radio, but you've got a 54-year-old widower. He's got a son that's not a dependent in college. College is paid for, but 54 years old, still working, about 7 years from retirement, he thinks, 7 to 10 years from retirement. He saved a good bit of money. He's been contributing to his 401k. He's been a pretty good steward along the way.
He owns a restaurant.
So he's a business owner. Yeah. He works hard. Yep. You know, because small business owners do. I mean, they're CEO.
Especially when you own a restaurant.
That's tough. Chief bottle washer, right? They're doing everything, right? So, but the question comes down to, he's saved throughout his life. He's made some good decisions. He's been active. Now he's looking at retirement, needs to get serious. But he keeps hearing all these different theories around how he should invest his money, given the fact that he's within basically earshot of hanging it up, or when he thinks he will hang it up.
Sure.
And it's worth us talking about, I think, some of the theories that are popular out there in the marketplace. I know we hear them a lot. So one is, if you're looking at your asset allocation between fixed and growth, popular theory might say you need to take your age, and whatever your age is, that's the percentage you should put into fixed income. So if you're 50 years old, you should have 50% of your money in fixed income.
Right.
If you're 60, 60% of your money in fixed income.
And that's a pretty common thought from a lot of people when they're not, when they've never had a financial plan done for them, they never had the cash flow projections run for them. That's really a common thought.
That's right.
Go down that road. And that's just, that's one of those theories where it's just a catch all
for everybody. It's a rule of thumb.
It's not tailored at all to their situation.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what assets they have and really how much money they spend.
Mm-hmm.
How much they've saved, anything like that. So, yeah, you're right. That's a very catch-all type of strategy.
Well, and so, I mean, I think the takeaway on this particular situation is you know, the way we approach this, you know, Gene built this firm way back in the day. And, you know, he's not on the air, so we can make comments about his age, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we
way
won't tell
back in the day.
Go ahead, man.
He'll be back
say
next
whatever
week.
You want.
Yeah.
Troy and I are right behind you, man.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
So, just remember who signs a paycheck.
Exactly. So way back in the day, around his 10-year rule, and through all of his PhD research and preparing to do what he did with his career, he established this philosophy that we try to apply, that the truth of the matter is no two financial plans should ever be the same. So there's not,
right.
While there are rules of thumb and things you can think of, there's no standard, hey, do this, and it's going to be the right answer for you.
Yep.
We always say every asset allocation is different for our clients because it's customized to their own individual situation.
Yeah.
And
you know, with the 10-year rule, just to unpack it a little bit, because we don't talk about it a lot on the air, to be honest. We don't really go here. But what the crux of it is that it says any money that you've saved that you don't think you're going to need to touch in the next 10 years should be 100% invested in
the stock market.
In growth or growth. Stock market.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
So that's money you're not going to need to touch in the next 10 years. The flip side of that is, any monies that you are going to need to touch to spend and live off of should be 100% away from risk.
Right.
Into some type of fixed income investment that you're going to hold to maturity, not trade, CDs, bonds, and the like.
Yeah. The basis of that is because of the stock market's long-term average growth of about 10.5%. However, there's been some instances since like the 1920s where there have been 10-year periods where there was negative growth. So that's the reason that we stick on that 10 years.
Sure.
And, you know, like I say, if you use this, okay, 50% of your assets are in fixed income. He's been out of the market if he had followed that rule, and he's only within 10 years of his retirement now. So, yeah. You know, you've missed out on the potential for growth. 2013, the market was up 32%.
Yeah, that's right. And you back up to this. You say, well, how do I determine how much of my money I'm going to need to touch? And what it really comes back down to is cash flow.
Yep.
It's spending.
It's cash.
Which is why we say everyone's got to be different, because you can have a 70-year-old that if their asset – if their pool of assets is such that their spending is such that they may not need much in fixed income.
Now, there's some clients that they don't spend very much money. They don't have any debt.
Yeah.
So theoretically, they could have 100% of their money in a stock market and get the dividends
off of that,
Social Security, pension, and that's all they need to spend. But then you can run different numbers for them and say, okay, you don't have to be that aggressive.
That's right.
Be more conservative. And where's your risk tolerance?
Right.
Yeah. What we call the sleep factor.
Where
do you sleep well at
night? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It takes away that fear when the market does get volatile.
Yeah. Sure. So it gets difficult to say, well, all right, if you're 50 years old, put half your money in fixed income. Well, what if your spending eats through that? You know, you run the risk of running out of money, because at the end of the day, a financial plan, amongst other things, should be geared around answering the question of, is my money going to last me through my life expectancy? So that one theory, I wanted to toss it out there because, Scott, you and I talked about it earlier this week. We've seen local firms here in Atlanta that's basically here's the solution. In an effort to make it simple and make it clean, sort of dumbing down the advice a little bit and don't know that it necessarily benefits, you know, the person that's getting the advice or building the plan.
Right. Well, and a lot of do-it-yourself planners are out there hawking the same kind of rules of thumb. I know Jack Bogle's a huge, you know, he'll talk about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he puts these out there.
Yeah. No, so and really to do that whole thing, what we always talk about, Matt, is the gap, you know, between the amount of money that comes in for them and the amount of money they're going to spend. You figure out what the gap is between those two, and then we plan for that for the next 10 years, and that's what goes into fixed income
for
people. And then you factor in inflation, you factor in growth rates for the stocks.
Taxes.
Fixed income is virtually, you know, very, very low right now.
Right.
There's not much there. But that's how we factored in for our clients' portfolios and situations, and then that's how we come to the asset allocation for them for their own individual situation.
Yeah, so in the situation here that we're talking about with this case study, you know, Noel, who's 54 years old, now's the time for him to be thinking long and hard about, okay, how do I begin to project out? And here's another fact too, right? And we run into this a lot of times. Many times there is this thought that, well, when I retire, I'm going to spend less.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
And
well, I should say
a lot of confidence there, Scott.
I'll just say from what we see.
That's true.
Let's just say
this. This is experience talking.
Yeah,
right?
It really is.
Most of the clients don't spend less.
They'll
still spend about the same level.
Well,
now they're going to go travel.
That's right. You've got more discretionary time. Therefore, you're going to go through.
They're going to go see the grandkids more. They're going to spend more on the grandkids.
Sure.
I mean, you know, yeah. I don't think it really goes down.
No,
I really don't.
Not too much. So, you know, now's the time for him to be starting this. And so we'll talk about this some more as the show goes on a little bit. And but again, just sort of wanted to get that out there that, you know, listen, how you decide what your asset allocation should be needs to be tied really closely to your spending and your cash flow.
Oh, absolutely. It's more based on your habits, those that you've developed over those first 54 years and how you know, it's not so much as, you know, what you make is how much
you spend.
Become accustomed to spending.
Yeah,
because as you said, Scott,
that's the hardest question clients have to answer is how much do you spend? Because so many times they'll just look at you with a blank stare on their face like, I'm not sure.
Not exactly sure.
That's right.
And it's not always a fun exercise either, right?
No, it's
not so bad as I still have checks in this book. I got plenty of money to keep spending, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talked about Noel's situation here. He's approaching retirement. He's about 7 years out. And we talked a little bit about how to think about asset allocation. We talked about our 10-year rule, thinking about money you don't need in the next 10 years needs to be in growth. Money that you are going to need in the next 10 years needs to be away from growth and fixed income, held to maturity type safe investments. But one of the other things that I think is worth mentioning is it's real important when you're building your financial plan, and what he's going to have to get his head around is, and we touched on it in the last segment, is his spending. And oftentimes what we're interested in when we build a plan, Scott, I know you and I look at this a lot, is what is the actual spending number that you're spending today, and then if you project that out.
And we grow it at 4.6% a year. That's the inflation rate we use to just be more conservative for doing the financial plans.
So what does that actual spending number look like? But then once you've got all the assets put into the cash flow projection, and again, you inflate that out, you assume returns, you assume taxes, what does that then tell you your maximum spending number would be?
And we define maximum spending as saying if the assets ran out at the younger spouse's age of 92.
That's right.
That's how we calculate it. Now, that doesn't mean they have to sell their home and all that stuff. They still like to have their home.
Right.
Cash flow projection. So they're not totally out of assets.
Yeah. So what's the most money annually after tax you can spend and have zero money left when the younger of the two spouses reaches age 92? And that difference between your actual spending and your maximum spending is extremely telling. Because if you run a scenario where, just give an example, if your actual spending is, call it $75,000 a year, all in after tax, and a projection's run, and the maximum spending number is $80,000 a year, what that's telling you is you've only got a $5,000 gap between what you can afford to spend and what you're actually spending. And typically, we've got a comfort level on how we like people to spend, right?
Yeah, we like it for about 85% or less, obviously.
But 85%
of the maximum number.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we use that number to help us decide whether we need to talk to the client about having long-term care insurance as well to help protect if something really goes wrong. You know, if they have a big buffer,
then
maybe they don't need to have long-term care. They can basically self-insure.
Yeah.
If it's pretty tight, then maybe they should have some long-term care insurance to help protect them.
So my point in bringing this up is when it comes to running a financial plan and building something that's customized to a person's situation, it's real important to get under the hood of these factors. What's your actual spending? What's the maximum you can afford to spend? Is there a gap? Is there a negative gap? I mean, we've seen plenty where people have a lot of money, but their spending level such that, you're actually going to run out. So
that's where we tell them you got to keep working.
That's exactly right.
But, get familiar with the phrase, welcome to Walmart. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've got a few options, right? Work longer, spend less, die sooner, right? Those are basically your options.
Yes.
And so you need to think about
that's right. You can how that categorize those and rank them as you wish.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.